Blog Talk Radio.
People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
From within the planet, this is Dale Kay here from Spook Show, here along with...
Hey, Binkley, of the Weirdness, really bad movie.
And we're here
and we're
at Erie.
We're here with
no one else.
Yes,
at the moment.
It's
Erie House Radio. We've got a very special show for you today. It's the 80th anniversary of the original broadcast of Mercury Theater on the air and their version of War of the Worlds.
But this is a little different than you've probably ever heard it before, even though this is the way that most people probably heard it back in 1938.
Yeah, it's an unusual approach that we decided to take. It leads to why some people were fooled into thinking that this broadcast were actual events.
Right. What there is, just as today, just as when you and I were growing up, Dale, back in 1938, there were also channel hoppers when commercials came on and such. Well, as it happens, the Mercury Theater of the Air was on opposite the Charlie McCarthy program, the Jason Sanborn Hour, starring Egda Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. That was the number one program of the year. Everybody tuned in to hear Charlie McCarthy. But the difference is, here, what happened is that during the time when they came up to the singer, which happens to be Nelson Eddy, who was a regular singer on the show at that time, when he started singing, people started tuning around to see what would happen, what else was on elsewhere, and they came across this other broadcast in progress. This was nothing new. Eddie Cantor did this to his advantage as well. When he was on NBC also, but he may have been on CBS. But anyway, he went on, and he was on directly opposite Fred Allen, which was a more popular show. But what happened with Eddie Cantor, he found this young singer called Diana Shore. Everybody fell in love with Diana Shore and her voice. He made sure that when Fred Allen's commercials came on, that Diana Shore was singing. And when people would tune in their radio and hear that, they'd stay with that show. Fred Allen became so enraged, he demanded the network switch him to another night. So channel hopping is nothing new. It happens now. It happened when we were growing up, and it happened in 1938. And that's exactly what happened, which led to a lot of the confusion and to what happened with the night that terrified America.
That's right. The Mercury Theater on the Air had a typical introduction to their show, explaining, you know, who they were and what they do before leading into any of their stories. Of course, the great Orson Welles, who had already at a very early age become quite renowned for his work on stage, was gaining steam on radio with his new show. Just Saturday, we played the very first broadcast of Mercury Theater on the Air and Welles' version of Dracula. Well, on this night, 80 years ago, they decided to do H.G. Wells' story, War of the Worlds.
Yeah, Orson Welles was just looking for something a little bit spooky, and he sure found it with what they did with it. There's some interesting stories about that, but Dale, I think it might behoove you right now to maybe share that broadcast that or that part of the broadcast that people didn't get to hear.
In addition to the introduction from the show, there is a preface that you hear in almost every version of War of the Worlds, be it the 2005 Tom Cruise, narrated by Morgan Freeman, the 1953 movie War of the Worlds, which featured the voice of, help me out, Dave. Very popular voiceover guy. Good set of pipes.
Or which one?
For the 1953 movie.
Oh, off the top of my head, I don't honestly remember.
Okay. It'll come to us later. And, of course, in this 1938 broadcast, here's something that you will not hear, and most people did not hear, because they tuned out poor Nelson Eddy.
Well, we know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
You also heard this introduction in Jeff Wayne's musical version, War of the Worlds, as narrated by Richard Burton. But more about that later.
Well, let me talk a little bit about how the Mercury Theater was actually created, Dale. This group of actors that became the Mercury Theater, headed up by actually from a chance meeting for a Bucharest-born grain dealer, John Houseman, and a kid from Kenosha, Wisconsin, who had become, Broadway's Wonder Boy, Orson Welles, resulted in the formation of a famed but short-lived theater. This unlikely odd couple together produced a number of innovative plays independently in New York City in 1935 through 1937, most under sponsorship of the WPA project. This led to them being banned staging of the Cradle of Rock, a powerful anti-capitalist drama by Mark Blitzen, in which the actors, prohibited from taking a stage, acted their roles from the aisles. The next day, Welles and Houseman were praised by most, jeered by some, and the WPA, they pulled all their funding that they were having for their troupe. The energetic duo, they founded their own company, the Mercury Theater, with the company of 34 actors and a capital of $10,500. They soon launched the three Broadway hits in succession, Shoemaker's Holiday, Heartbreak House, and A Modern Dress, Julius Caesar. Their success and laudity reviews prompted CBS radio executives in June of 1938 to offer Houseman and Welles a one-hour time slot. Welles had some radio experience. He was regularly on the march of time and was the lead in The Shadow. So he had this radio experience. Houseman producing and writing, and Welles directing and acting, the Mercury Theater on the Air debuted, as we did on Saturday, July 11th, 1938, with an adaption of Dracula. They had planned Treasure Island, but their initial offering, but Welles pushed it to the second week to do a script revision. Let's talk a little bit now about the actual scripting. What time do we have, Dave?
Keep that short. There's been a slight problem here with Blog Talk. This show is going to end in about a little less than 5 minutes. We apologize. In the meantime, though, I have created another show that will start at 7:30. So we will continue our broadcast at 7:30. So there'll be a 15-minute break. We want you to come back. We'll explain everything on Facebook and put up a brand new link. So keep an eye on Facebook. We'll put up a brand new link, and everything will be hunky-dory.
All right. Well, maybe I was kind of going to look it over. Houseman did the writing, but it was getting too much for him. So they hired Howard Koch at $75 a week to do the writing. And basically, over the next 3 weeks, he transformed three novels into radio scripts, Hell on Ice, 17, and Around the World in 80 Days. Wells wanted a spooky show for their October 30th broadcast. So he handed Koch a copy of H.G. Wells' 40-year-old science fiction novel, The War of the Worlds. Orson thought the volume was too dated and dull and instructed Koch to change the Martian invasion from England to the U.S. and write it as a news bulletin program. To do so, Koch would have to jettison most of the novel and write an almost original play for live broadcast less than 6 days away. Koch picked up Grosvenor's Mill as the invasion landing by throwing a dart at the map of New Jersey, which actually many of us have wanted to do. After two days of struggling, Koch told Houseman it couldn't be done in time. They considered switching to Lorna Doone, but they couldn't reach Wells for permission, so Houseman joined Koch for two more days of writing, producing a script for Thursday's rehearsal, which showed it to be dull. The two worked through the night, gave the script to the CBS censor, who demanded major changes. They worked on it until almost Sunday afternoon when Wells first saw it at rehearsal. He then rewrote most of the scenes. So there you go. That's how the whole story even came together for the War of the Worlds here. The script,
pretty
story, and kind of the story behind the story, how this even got to be. And kind of as we talked a little bit even last night, how originally this was on, this was when CBS scheduled it, it was on Mondays. And they switched it to Sundays. It would go against the Charlie McCarthy show. But they lost their actual Halloween night that this could have been on. Yeah, had they stayed on Mondays, they would have been on Halloween night. But had they stayed on Mondays, the mix-up never would have been there. And I think a lot of people that heard the War of the Worlds broadcast never actually would have heard it.
That's pretty incredible. And we have about a minute and a half left to this brief, shall we call it a preface to the actual show. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. So check out Facebook. We'll put up a new link for the full show and the full broadcast of Mercury Theater on the Air's War of the World. We apologize.
Yep.
You know,
hey, well,
being a little funny with us today.
Sometimes you got to work with it when you go with what you got to work with, and we're going to play the show. We're not starting it until we can run the whole thing. So please bear with us and be right back with us because we're getting ready to kick off the show. So it'll be
that's right,
ready to rock and roll in about 15 minutes now. So
yep. Stick around, folks. We're going to reboot very shortly.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.